Hey friend, are you struggling to find consistent paid speaking gigs? Do you want to know the exact 6 steps that you can take to find and book more paid speaking opportunities in 2024? Well, we want to make that easy for you. We've created a new free resource with the help of Dan Irvin, one of our highly successful speakers on our team. Dan has booked over $100,000 in paid speaking gigs in the last few years, and his 6-step process is going to help you maximize your chances of getting booked and paid to speak in any industry. You're going to learn how to get started prospecting, master discovery calls and proposal emails, and so much more. All you got to do is go to thespeakerlab.com/steps, and we're going to send you this 18-page guide straight to your inbox. Again, that is thespeakerlab.com/steps, and you're going to get that free guide. Hey, thanks for listening. You're awesome. Hey, what's up, friends? Graham Baldwin here. Delighted to have you here listening to the Speaker Lab podcast for an episode of our student highlight series. Now, as you may know, our mission here at the Speaker Lab is to help you get booked and paid to speak by equipping you with the tools to launch and scale your speaking business. And we are really, really proud of the thousands of students who have used our programs and tools to build the speaking business of their dreams. But you don't have to hear it from me. You can hear it directly from the incredible people who have gone from aspiring to established speakers thanks to their hard work and our programs. Now, if you're a speaker, I know that you have the story of what inspired your message and how you decided where you want to make that impact. And often that story can be what gives other speakers who are just starting out the confidence to take the first steps towards chasing their dreams. And so that's why we started this student highlight series, where you're going to be able to hear incredible speaker stories straight from our talented and diverse alumni. I'm going to hand off the mic for today's conversation to one of our coaches who works with our students every single day, giving them tailored guidance to further their speaking career. So here's this week's student highlight episode. Enjoy.
Hey everyone, Mary Alice Goldsmith here, Director of Student Success for the Speaker Lab. I am so excited to be taking over the Speaker Lab podcast today. It is a true honor to have the opportunity to introduce you to some of our amazing students. I promise you're going to learn so much from their experiences and be inspired by their perseverance and success. Today, it's my privilege to introduce you to Silish Gamide. Did I say it right? I did.
You did.
I always admit to my audience that we had a full blown name session before we went on live because I hate pronouncing names wrong.
No, I agree. I mean, that's great. I mean, it's a little challenging. My name's a little challenging. So,
Gamide. You know what got it? Yeah. We were, Silish and I were like, well, how do we get people to really understand the last name? And I'm like, well, we could do like slang, like give me that. And that just helped stick in my mind. Gamide. Now I got it.
I'll try to reproduce that. So when I'm introducing myself, I'll make sure I keep that handy.
Thank you. It worked. I don't know how it works, but well, thanks for the lesson. I appreciate it. And I'm so glad I nailed it. I'm so excited about that. Kudos to me. But thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, you're welcome. No, thanks for having me. It's a privilege to be on here.
Yeah, I'm excited to share your story. We got to do a testimonial recording a couple of weeks ago, and I think your story really speaks to the desire to want to be a speaker, managing what you have going on in your life right now, but still persevering. And I think that's so important because there are a lot of people out there who are really struggling to do all the things, and I think your message is going to be profound in that way. So why speaking? What led you to speaking?
Well, I mean, I've always enjoyed being in front of people, to be honest with you. I was in drama when I was in high school. I was in a couple of plays. Didn't get any lead parts or anything like that, but I enjoyed being part of that. My dad was a big influence for me. My dad was a big he loved the idea of public speaking, and he ended up going to school in England. And he was exposed, I think, to the Oxford Debate Society in the 60s and 70s when he was school there. And he was always impressed. I think he went to some of the, he didn't go to Oxford, but I think he went to some of their debate sessions where they still have those, that you can find those on YouTube. And he just loved that whole concept of being able to speak eloquently in front of people. And so When I was young, he made me practice when we came home from school when I was in fourth or fifth grade. I remember he would give us an assignment and say, this week, I want you to prepare a summary of everything that you did this week, highs and lows, and I want you to give a presentation to the family. So
he was not messing around.
No, he wasn't messing around. He did that a couple of times. I think he lost interest because we probably were just making it too big, too hard for him. But I do. I have very vivid memories of doing that as a fourth grader. And then I auditioned for a play in fourth grade. And when I did, I got the part I wanted. And the lady later on said the reason why he got the part is because every other kid put their paper in front of their face and would read their lines. But I put it down and I was looking at the audience and I was speaking and they were just impressed by that. So anyway, big kudos to dad.
That's really cool. Let me ask you this. Yeah. When your dad was making you do that, were you like, oh, dad, come on. Really?
Well, here's the thing. My dad was a more traditional dad. You didn't question him. It wasn't like you had no choice, Mary Alice. I mean, it's not like you could. I could have said that to my mom, but not to my dad.
So is it more like the siblings went in the room and they were like, oh my gosh, why is he making us do this? Like it was more of that vibe. Yeah.
It was more of that vibe. Yeah. Yeah. Not like we didn't say anything to our dad. No, not like that at all. So because of that, I got interested. And then now, even though I graduated with a very technical degree, I actually have a physics degree, believe it or not. And I went into marketing, working for an engineering company, and they always put me in front of to train customers on the products and services. So I knew that I enjoyed that. And then later on, as I got in working for marketing agencies, got speaking opportunities. And as I spoke, I didn't realize, I never thought, I wish I had discovered this 10, 15 years ago. I never really thought that you could make a living doing public speaking like this, you know? I just thought those big name people were just special people, you know? I never thought that a guy like me could do that. And so after one of my talks with the American Marketing Association, a lady came forward and asked me to speak at their company retreat. This is before I joined the Speaker Lab. And then she sent me an email asking me for my fees and my terms and everything like that. And I thought, goodness gracious, man, you can get paid. They want to pay me. Oh my goodness. Wow. So yeah, that's kind of the journey there. And that's where I Googled after I did that gig. I Googled how to get paid speaking, and that's where the Speaker Lab came up. And then I signed up for their newsletter. And I got a lot of emails. I mean, you guys send really good emails.
Yeah, we're good at emails.
I'm not saying don't do it, but there was a lot of emails. And then finally, in February of 2020, I signed up for the program.
Wow. Wow. That's such a cool story and like really speaks to the impact we can make as parents. You know, like I'm sure your dad knew he was teaching you a skill. I'm not sure he knew how impactful it would be long term. You know, to you and your career. Right. It's powerful.
Yeah,
have you thanked him?
Well, he passed away a year and a half ago. So he knew that I was starting to do this. Mm-hmm. But he didn't really get to see me in this current state. I think he would have enjoyed my journey here. I just part of the reason why I keep doing this is because I know that it was something that was very special to him. Yeah. It kind of connects me to him in a special way, to be honest with you. Regardless of how successful, how much money I make, whatever it is, I know that I'm doing something that my dad would be really happy with.
Yeah, so, he might be up there working some magic.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I think about him. Like when I spoke at the Southwest Veterinary Conference in Texas in September, that was one of the things I was thinking about was, wow, I wish I could call my dad right now and tell him that I gave a 3-hour lecture to a group of people.
I love that makes you feel connected to him. That's so powerful. Yeah, it's beautiful.
It really is.
So, okay. So fast forward, you're doing your weekly reviews for your dad. You start speaking organically at work. You get offered for a gig and you're like, whoa, wait a minute, I need to figure this out because there could be a whole SOP and systems and processes around repeating this. And so you join the Speaker Lab. I know you had a great experience with the Speaker Lab. And so fast forward to today, where are you in terms of running the business, running your, because you also have your own business, correct?
Right. I have a digital marketing agency. So my wife and I have had the company for 10 years. So I spend a significant amount of my time on the business. I love doing it. I love the clients we have and all that kind of stuff. So it's been a little bit challenging to kind of step away. But I try to budget. I look at my calendar every Friday afternoon and I look at the week ahead and I make sure that I budget. I'm not doing it as much as I listened to one of your podcasts about the Power Hour. I think Eric Ream or one of the guys was talking about that, which I love. I'm using that across the board for anything that I'm doing to the point where even my wife is doing that. You know, we love that Power Hour concept. So I try to budget in at least 3 hours a week consistently that I'm working on this business. And I do notice that if I do that consistently, I start to get gigs. The moment I start to slack off, things start to fall off.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's something about like, I always found this with raising my boys, like the busier they were with like sports and activities, the better they did. Right. It's almost like, because you don't have a lot of time, you don't have a lot of loafing space, if you know what I mean, just like hanging around space. Yeah. And so you use every moment at its full potential. And so I think it's such an important message to share with people who are listening to this podcast. And there's many people, students, potential students, past students. And a lot of people walk around saying, I don't have enough time.
Right.
Right. And that's a mindset. That's a story that we're investing in. I don't have enough time. It's like walking around saying, I don't have enough money. So can you speak a little bit about that and really encourage people who find themselves using that almost as a crutch without knowing it, that I don't have enough time. How we all have the same 24 hours, and how are you doing with two careers and a wife and family?
Yeah. Well, I would say it's all about priorities. I think I heard somebody, some success speaker talk about that a long time ago, saying it's not that you don't have time. It's just what are your priorities? Right. Yeah. So I think I don't know if you have an iPhone or what you have, but my iPhone gives me a summary of my screen time. Mm-hmm. I think every Sunday night when I go on, it gives me a summary of screen time. And I look at that going, oh, my goodness, that's a lot of time I wasted. You know, I'm just looking at that. So I always think about that. I'm like, wow, if I don't have time, that's one thing I could easily cut out. Like, think about it. We grew up with no cell phones, nothing. And we're fine. Right now we're spending, what, 18 hours a week on cell phones. So it's about priorities for me. And I always think about that. What are my priorities? What am I trying to accomplish? This year, I learned listening to a coach talk about setting goals and then attaching an emotional goal at the same time. So I try to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to get four paid. I have a dollar amount I want for each of my gigs. I want four of those. And I've tried to attach an emotional goal to it. The emotional goal being I travel with my wife. So if I get these gigs, I can travel with my wife, right? That's fun. Yeah. Right? We can go to a new city, just the two of us. That's an emotional goal because we're trying to find time as a husband and wife to be together as well. Like, I noticed when we went to Texas together, I spoke 2 sessions, 2 days, but most of the day I was free. I was just walking around the conference hall, right? There was not much to do. I was there with my wife. So we went to a nice restaurant. We had some good, you know, we did the same thing when we went to New Orleans, you know? So there's an emotional attachment there. I get to do speaking gigs. I get paid. This emotional attachment of I also get to spend time with my wife. I also get to do this with her at the same time. So I try to attach that, prioritize it, and attach an emotional goal to it. So it's helped me. It's worked for me. Yeah. So yeah, I would say that is you have time. You have the time. It's just what are your priorities?
Yeah, it's so true. And we're human, right? And so we do want instant gratification. We do want to have that feel good feeling around what we're doing. I think this also ties back into, you know, that feel good feeling of like being connected to your dad. I think like speaking correlates with that. So you're more inclined to want to do it because it makes you feel good. And so I think that's such a great point. You know, if it's not making you feel good, you might need to check some other aspects of the business, the way you're running it, what you're speaking about, who you're speaking to. But also to your point, how can you make it more of an enjoyable process? Because if it's sad to leave your husband or your wife, bring them along, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I love that.
Yeah,
I was very transparent with them when I signed up for some of these. I said, hey, my wife's traveling with me. I just didn't want them to feel weird, like I brought somebody along. so normally they would give her a guest pass so she could attend, you know, things like that. Perfect. Very nice people. Everybody's just so super nice. All these event coordinators, they're amazing people.
They really are.
Yeah.
And they have a lot on their plate. Yeah. And so the more transparent and easy you are to work with, the more amazing they're going to be, for sure. Yeah.
And we do have 4 kids, so we have to find babysitting and all that kind of thing. But you know, that's a whole different story. So when she travels with me, we have to find grandma, grandpa, schedules, and it gets stressful until we leave, and then it's nice.
Yes. But then again, that so speaks to priority, right? To be able to say to those 4 kids, bye. Mommy and daddy are leaving, and we can't wait.
Yeah,
that's great.
So attaching, I mean, I think a lot of people that do start a program like this have high expectations. And so I think having an emotional connection to your goals and why you're doing it makes a difference. Because as much as we like watching Grant on those videos, you know, it gets to be tedious after a while. Sure. You know, there's 4 modules, there's 5 modules, there are different programs. And then once you get going, you have to do cold outreaches. You know, it's not like these people just call you up saying, oh, you finished the teacher lab, you know, the speaker lab. Can you come and speak? You know, it's work.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, right when we got on this call, you're like, oh, sorry. I felt like I was a little late because I was cold calling, you know, like that.
Yeah, I was cold calling this morning. Yeah. I mean, I made what, 6 calls this morning. So again, that power hour. So yeah.
I love it. It seems like, you know, there is a certain personality type, and there's so many different successful personalities. So I don't want anybody to take this wrong, but for you particularly, you really seem to make decisions based on intention, priority, and what really feels good for you and your family. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is true. You have to be very intentional. I read a lot of books and things like that. And I look at different memes and that's books of the modern age. You know, sometimes there was that one TikTok thing going around saying, no, or Instagram thing come around saying, no one's doing it for you, right? Like, you got to go work out. Nobody's going to work out for you. You got to go, you know, go to work. Nobody's going to work for you. You got to clean the house. Nobody's clean. You know what I mean? So if you want to speak, no one's doing it for you. You got to be intentional about going out and doing it, you know?
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I mean, to kind of give you guys a little bit of a plug on the Speaker Lab, what I really liked about what you had is I'm a little bit structured as well. Like, to know that there's set modules, you watch, you do the homework, you follow the instructions, you do what they're saying. You know, it's almost like you're almost in autopilot because you don't have to think about it, right? You guys have taken care of all that for me. So all I have to do is do the homework, do what you're saying, use the cold emails and do the follow-ups, and I even use the same contract and I copy paste everything. I'm not sitting there writing my own emails, you know, and it works. So for me, you know, I just follow it. You know, sometimes I meet people that try to make it more complicated than it really should be. And I feel like you guys have invested all this time and energy putting this package together. Just follow it. That's what I tell people, is just follow it. Just do what they're saying, man. There's a reason why they're saying do it this way. You're not that unique, you know. The system is not, you know, you're not that much outside of an outlier, you know. Yeah. So that's what I've done. Well, number one learning from your program is in our business, I've had to cold call, and my wife has had to cold call. We've had to knock on doors to get business. I was surprised that in this industry, maybe it's just my industry, is I've been able to land gigs just by email. Which to me blew me away, Mary Alice, because I have never, like, without talking to somebody on the phone, just by email, they send me a contract. I'm like, wow, what if I'm a scammer? I don't know, man. There's been no human contact. I mean, the one that I'm speaking to in April, I have never met them. I have never talked to the lady on the phone, nothing. It's all by email. It really blew me away, which I like, because that's less time intensive. Yeah. But anyway, that's kind of the situation, which I'm kind of surprised by.
Yeah, no, that is incredible. And not everybody's industry is that way. Let's just be upfront and honest. No. But with that said, who do you speak to and what do you speak about?
Well, the last couple of years, I have focused my attention on speaking to dentists and veterinary practices, because we have a marketing agency, newwinedigital.com. and we do marketing for those industries. Mm-hmm. So we build websites, we do all their social media, we do all of their SEO content marketing and everything like that. We even help them with email newsletters and help them with their online reputation and things like that. So we're like an agency for dental practices and vet clinics. So I have a lot of case studies and things like that that I usually share. But this year, I've got one that I signed up for manufacturing, because we've done a lot of manufacturing companies as well. So I got invited to speak at a manufacturing, like a workshop. They want me to run a two-hour workshop. So those are the main industry groups that I speak to. But I am looking to expand a little bit and tweak things a little bit, just to kind of see if there's other industries that would be good. Because one thing I'm learning about my industries is that the timeline is very long. Like the dental conferences, like I have a signed contract for a conference in March of 24.
Oh, wow.
So that's how long of a window they have, right? So I have a reminder on my calendar in January 24 to call her up and make sure everything's still going, you know. But I already signed the contract, so I'm good. So it's a long time horizon. So I'm trying to find ways to tweak my talk, maybe, or find local gigs that would be a little bit of a shorter time horizon. So that's kind of why.
And you deep dive into digital marketing with them.
I do.
Yeah, I mean.
I do. Like the one that I did in Texas earlier, well, not this year, 22, they wanted me to do a three-hour deep dive. Mm. So I did 2 hours lectures and 1 hour like a workshop.
Yeah. I mean, I could definitely see you expanding for sure. I mean.
Yeah. I didn't realize I had 3 hours in me, but I did. So and then they put me on from like 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock on that day. And then the next morning at 8 a.m. So I went back to the hotel, just relax for a little bit, ate dinner, and then boom, the next morning again. So it was quite intense.
Yeah. What is your process like when you're about to speak and you're 24 hours before your event? Do you have like a mental game process that you implement to help you be at your best?
Well, this one took me a little bit by surprise, to be honest with you. It was a major learning, and I feel comfortable sharing about it. It was a major learning. One of your questions was any hiccups that you've had along the way. So it kind of ties in a little bit. So that's why I bring it up. But so this one, when we talked about it, they told me that they pay X amount per hour and that they've given me 6 hours is what they told me. Right. And so we negotiated that. And I said, I can do 6 hours. No problem. In my head, I only have 45 to 50 minute presentations. Right. In my head, I thought, oh, I just got to do the same one, boom, 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 6 times, right? So I'm ready for that. I have my PowerPoint ready. I'm all ready to go. I practiced it. I've done usually 2 or 3 days before. I try not to practice 24 hours before because it really messes me up. I do it like 3 or 4 days in advance, and I feel good. I got all my notes. I file it away. I'm ready to go. So I arrive there. And then I'm talking to the event coordinator and then the lady that is like more of the topical person. And then she was talking about like how some people are leaving, like these are veterinarians, mm-hmm. right? They're leaving after the second hour. So let me know how many people leave after the second hour, because I just want to see if we need to retweak our programming for future. Maybe we need to start doing 2 hours instead of 3 hours. And I'm like, come again? What do you mean? Are you saying that they're going to come at 2 o'clock and they're going to stay till 5 o'clock with me, the same people? And she said, yeah, that's the way our programs are organized. And I thought, oh my goodness. I'm so glad I had this conversation with you. Like, I'm so glad I had this conversation. I still had a day to go. So I told her, I was very honest up front. I said, that is not what I understood. I prepared a 50-minute presentation that I'm going to do 6 times. That was my understanding. And she said, no, you need to have a 3-hour presentation that you do 2 times. And because it's going to be the same people that are going to stay, because they had my lecture, my speech, as classified as a continuing education. So they're going to get 1 credit for that. And they need to be there 3 hours. Yeah. That's why she was asking me for people that drop out after 2, because they may not be eligible for 1 credit.
Right.
Right. So all of a sudden, I am in super, super panic mode inside because I'm less than 24 hours away from this thing. Oh my gosh. And so I go back to my hotel and I say, okay, don't panic. I have material. Because I really spent a lot of time condensing everything to 45 minutes, right? Beautiful. So I figured, okay, so if they're going to give me 3 hours, so I reworked my presentation, and I also pulled in some things that I'd done for other, like I'd done some stuff earlier that year at another conference. I pulled that in. So I made it into a 2-hour lecture, 1-hour workshop thing where it was practical and people could be engaged, question answer session and things like that. So I got that all ready that night. I practiced it that morning, and then I delivered it, and it was really great. I got great feedback. Wow. In fact, a lady 2 weeks later hunted me down, emailed me, and said, you did such a great job. You know, I loved your presentation. And then I felt like, okay, do you mind sending that over to the event planner and to this lady absolutely. As well? She said, absolutely, I'll do that. And so she did, and she sent it, and then they, in turn, 2 days later, emailed me and said, we got such high, you know, comments about your presentation. So anyway, it was stressful. It was hard. I definitely earned every penny I got out of that conference, but it was a bullet that I dodged, because if I didn't have that conversation, which led me to believe that I do really need to do like I think you guys tell us to do it too, which is do a prep call mm-hmm. to make sure that every... Because with the long time windows that we have, you know, like I signed this contract almost 10 months ago before. And so all the details were fuzzy, right? Yep. So I need to do that. That's something that I need to make sure that I do, is touch base with the event planner and the topical person and make sure that run everything by them, make sure we're on the same page.
Yeah, so. I think that would be so valuable, especially in your circumstances where there is such a huge time gap. But also, you know, we really drive home the importance of being very easy to work with for the event planners, right? Because then they're going to want you back and it's just easy.
Right.
But to have that prep call, making sure that they have, you know, the technology that you need. And that's when you can request certain things too, but also to get right. even more perspective of the audience. And I mean, you talk what you talk about, but you could, for certain audience, you might hone in on something a little deeper than another audience, right?
Right.
And so you can mm-hmm. get that feedback as well, helping you really right. deliver something powerful. But lesson learned. What's the biggest lesson?
Yeah, lesson learned for sure. Lesson learned. You can never be too careful.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, it's like, it's hard to ask questions that you don't know you need to ask. But I think anyone that's listening to this as speakers, it's really important that it's not just a speaking topic. It's an experience that you have to create.
This
was a big experience that you had to create.
This was a big experience. Yeah. This was a big experience. And what I did find, what I did find out is a lot of those people did not drop off after the second hour. In fact, more people joined later on because I think I don't know how it works, but I'm not trying to cast any judgment on anybody, but some people came halfway through, mm-hmm. some people came in the third hour and things like that. But the original people stayed all the way through. So they're learners, the people that go to these kind of conferences. My audience are learners. Yeah. So I need to be top of the game in terms of the information I provide. I need to tweak things, and especially in digital marketing where things change quite a
sure.
bit. Like I have one client already asking me, how does GPT change digital marketing? And I thought, great question. I need to address this now, you know, because people are going to start asking, yeah. you know, so it changes a lot. So you got to stay on top of it. And if your audience are learners and they're there to learn and absorb information from you, then you definitely need to be very well prepared.
Yeah. And if, especially digital marketing, I mean, every month, something, whether it's huge or little, it doesn't matter, but something changes. And I think too, like dealing with veterinarians, animals, people love their animals versus dentists. Like people don't necessarily like to go to the dentist. So that the way that those two populations are going to market are going to be different for emotional purposes, right? And so just deep right. diving in that in a different way or a different perspective yeah. for them, you know, is something to think about. But
No, that's good. That's a good point, because knowing your audience is very important. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we hammer that point in the Speaker Lab courses too. Knowing your audience.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking to manufacturers now, and they're a little different, right? They're a little bit more technical people. Mm-hmm. They're a little bit. They like information. They don't like cute stories, I noticed, because I did speak to them last year. This is one where I got invited back. They don't like cute stories. They're more like matter of fact, get her done type people. Mm-hmm. You know, just very. Especially manufacturing, a lot of blue-collar managers, you know, things like that. And so some of the stuff like that I talk about on social media stuff, it just goes over their heads. Like, I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to do that. Just show me the nuts and bolts of what I need to do.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. So. Well, how do we start? Give me the goods. Is that your name? Just give me the goods. Yeah, but that's really, really important. And again, going back to event planners, they will see how well you know their audience. Because remember, like, yeah, we're serving two people. We're serving the event planner who hired you and wrote out your check, and you have to make them look good. But then we're serving that audience. And so if you go above and beyond and learn the manufacturing audience and really speak their language, that event planner is going to be like, this guy, he knows our people. Right. He's really serving them, you know? So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it's really, really important. Yeah. So
yeah, the event planners are, my experience with event planners are, like I said, email has done it for me so far. I've never been able to get a single event planner on the phone, just so you know.
That's unbelievable.
I started my outreach in October of 2020. So I've never been able to get an event planner on the phone. It's been all by email, which is amazing to me.
So. Well, that's good to know. So if wherever we're selling to someone who speaks to dentists and veterinarian clinics, they're not going to get on the phone with you. That's very interesting.
They're not.
Very interesting. So what do you love most about being a professional speaker?
I love the energy that I get from people. I think I'm an extrovert. I don't know if you could pick that up.
Oh, yeah.
But I get energy from being around people. So I love interacting with my audience, and I like to get to know them. I try not to take questions during the presentation. I tell people, the reason why I'm here is to hopefully answer a lot of your questions. So let's take it at the end. And I also make myself available afterwards if they have questions and they want to discuss further on the topic. So I love that. I also like to, you know, have post engagement, you know, interactions with them as well, because a lot of times I still have two or three people from the last conference I went that send me email from time to time. So I love the interaction, and the best thing for me is I love teaching people. I mean, I love educating people on stuff that maybe is confusing to them or something that they don't understand. Or maybe something that they know is valuable, but they don't know how to understand, you know, things like that. You know, I love educating them. And so to me, it really aligns with what I like to do. And so part of that passion, I did start a podcast because of that, because a lot of the people that I was talking to were asking me so many questions. I thought, well, I'm just going to answer these in a podcast. Yeah. So I launched that podcast in November.
What's the name of the podcast? You know.
The podcast is Corner Your Market.
Ah, I love it. Okay.
My wife came up with that. I do have to give
her
credit.
That's a spin on like veterinarians, like corner a dog.
Not really. No, not really. I don't think I was thinking about that. It's more like, you know, you're trying to corner your market because in marketing, you talk a lot about knowing your audience and just being their go-to, right? So corner your market.
Love it.
There's a lot of fish out there. You don't have to be panicking about this and that. Just find a market, corner it. You know, you'll be happy. You'll have a great career. You know, so that's kind of my thing. So Corner Your Market podcast. And I've enjoyed doing it. I love educating. So I take some of the questions people send me and I just do a podcast on it, you know, 25, 30 minutes. It's fun.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's not as fun as this, though, because I love the interaction.
Yeah, you have to start doing interviews. Yeah, that might be great for you because you love people. And like, yeah, that could be really cool for you to start doing some.
But, you know, I do want to make sure I say something. There are a couple of people that I've met through the Speaker Lab. They're not necessarily extroverted, but they are introverted, and I think they've done well as well.
Sure.
So I'm not trying to say you have to be extroverted to do this. I know plenty of introverted people that do really well speaking. They're really effective and things like that. So in case somebody's listening and feels like, well, I don't like, you know, I don't like, you know, that part. I don't think it's true. I think you can overcome
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. We have a lot of people who dread getting on the stage, and then they come off the stage and they're just the energy that they have and the way that they feel helps them get back on that next stage. But thinking about it, it is a dread. But once they're up there and they walk off and they're just like, that was amazing, you know? So, right. And they are yeah. hardcore introverts. They are. But, you know, once you start talking.
I think it goes back to the first question, I think first or second question, I think in the program where they talk about what is the problem you're solving, mm-hmm. right? If you think of it in those terms, it becomes a lot easier not to be intimidated because you are bringing, you have to really believe in what you're doing and that you are bringing value to these people and they're there for that value. And forget the rest, right? And just ride the wave of value. And I think that helps you overcome some of those things as well.
Well, yeah.
I
mean, like,
fortunately for me, because of my dad, I've never had stage fright.
Amazing. It's amazing. I mean, it is so true what you just said, right? It's like when you think about like speaking is like the number one fear, right? I don't know the number, but most
public speaking.
Public speaking. So who in their right mind would want to do that, you know? But when you step back and you're like, wait a minute, I could really make an impact with this information. I have an opportunity to give someone else an opportunity. That changes the game, right? That kind of changes the game. And I think for people like yourself who are running a business and then add speaking, now you're running two businesses. You have a wife, a family of four. You know, most people would say, why are you doing that, Silas? Why are you doing that? Well, you have a bigger purpose. You have a bigger why. You have a bigger opportunity. And you see that and you know that. And I think that's really important. So whether you're extroverted or introverted, that's the link. That's the key that unlocks this ability to be a speaker. It's you see the impact that you're going to make with the opportunity that you offer. And then it's hard to turn your back to it.
It really is. And I think one thing that really resonated with me in your program was the imposter syndrome discussion. You know, I think Grant talks about it. I forget which video, but I struggled with that because I thought doing it for free is one thing, right? Because no harm, no foul, mm-hmm. you screw up, whatever, right? And they might say, oh, that guy wasn't worth it, but it was all free.
Yeah, like, worth what? You didn't pay me anything.
But now that you're getting paid for it, you might feel like, oh man, they're paying me for this thing. Am I real or am I fake? Mm-hmm. You know? So I think you have to really believe in your message. And for me, that's kind of the when I have the interactions afterwards, after a talk with people, that's when I remember those because I'm like, wow, four people came up to me afterwards and we talked about the value and what they learned. And then that email I got, you know, it's like, I just keep those things framed, man. It's like, I'm not an imposter. I am bringing value, you know, and I am doing it because I love it. You know what I mean? And just forget these mental battles you have inside your head, you know?
Yeah. I think those mental battles are important though, too, at the same time, because it is a defining moment, right? And so that imposter syndrome is really a sign that you're playing bigger. And so
that's true.
Yeah. I have a lot of students that will come
outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah, totally. True. You know, like students will come to me and say, oh, really, I got really bad imposter syndrome. And I'm like, that's awesome. That means like you're going places. This is good, you know, because if you're comfortable, you're not going to have that mental battle. You're just going to be comfortable. Yeah. And I don't know about you, but if I had a guess, comfortable is probably a little boring for you.
Yeah, it gets boring. Yeah. I need to honestly, cold calling has been my latest thing. I'm a little further along in my career. I feel like my mind says, oh, you shouldn't have to be cold calling. Just hire somebody to do it. But I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do this because I want to do it because it just pushes me. It just makes me feel weird, uncomfortable. I'm doing something different, you know. And if I can conquer this, how amazing is that?
Yeah, right? I love that about you. I really do think that, you know, this really ties all the way back to where we started with that story with your dad. Like he really instilled the challenge, the skill, He really planted a deep seed in you, and it expands beyond just speaking. And I think that that's so powerful. It's really cool.
That's cool. Yeah, for sure.
So I have the biggest question, and I know our audience wants to know. Four kids, do they present to you weekly on their week?
You know, that's a good point. I should start it.
Don't tell them I said it.
I did not make them do that, but I do have an older daughter who she's 16. I probably shouldn't talk about her because she's going to be really upset that I was talking about.
That's fine.
But she's pretty confident. She's a leader type. But the other two just naturally are very outspoken, and one's actually in a play in seventh grade. Nice. And so they're really out there. I mean, they're in a choir that presents, and so they're out there. So I feel like I haven't had to do that, but you know, but that's a good point. I probably should do that just to carry the tradition. Yeah, you know, just to kind of.
Once you said four kids, sure I'm tradition. Like, I definitely have to find out if he does the weekly check-in presentations.
And they're all girls, by the way.
Oh my goodness!
They're all girls.
So
my goal is to also write a book on how to raise daughters, or maybe declare to the world that I finally understand women, right? Because I've seen them from birth to.
I might make saying that to a woman. Now you're crossing a line there.
The definitive book on women. That's what I'm going to write. You know, after all my daughters are raised, I'm like, you know, I raised four daughters. I know everything, you know, about women.
You and Grant need to start the daddy-daughter club. He's got three daughters. Yeah, that's great. Well, I think it's really awesome. I love the way that you're, I really love the way you're living your life and going about your businesses, and your mindset's so positive. Your energy's so high. I think it's just because you lead with that bigger why, and you have that purpose front and center, and you're so intentional, and that's powerful.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think anybody that's listening who is stuck in that conundrum of I don't have enough time, really listen to what Silas had to say. I mean, he's running a company, he's got four daughters, a wife, and he's building his speaking business. And I think you have a really nice balance with it all. And it's really lovely to hear about.
If I could summarize one thing, that would be something I learned recently is the why is important. But I think once you attach an emotional, you know, a emotional reason that's valuable to you to the why, it becomes more powerful. And then that's when you can prioritize and get it done.
So true. I preach that all the time. We could just throw out our whys, right? Well, what's your why? Well, I want to be a profound speaker. You know, I want to change the world. Well, that's great. But why do you want to do that?
Why do you want to do that?
What's the legacy that you want to leave behind? And a lot of times that's attached to children, family, things like that. For people like you and I who do have that, it doesn't always have to be attached to that. But we all want to leave some kind of a legacy, right? And so that's where the emotion comes in. You know, I want to change the world. Well, why do you want to change the world? What do you want people saying about you at your funeral service? I know it's a little morbid, but seriously, what do you want people to say about you? So that's that emotional piece that I 1000% agree with you, that you have to attach that emotional piece to it. And then that momentum starts building.
Right. Then you get your priorities. Then you find the
time. Right.
Right. So 18 hours on social media per week, you know, they can go.
Yeah. Then you'll start saying, well, it's not an option, not have enough time. Then, you know, and then you'll start looking at your phone going, I am putting this bad boy away. I'm not going to scroll social media anymore. So, we can always find more time. But I appreciate you so much taking the time to share share with us on the Student Highlight podcast. We are, you know, super, super proud of you. We love how you work the program and how you're working your business. And to share that with people who are in the midst of it or thinking about it is very powerful. So we thank you for being so gracious.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you for having me on the show. And I love this podcast. I love the program. So I can't say enough good things about you guys. So thank you for making a difference in my life, to be honest with you. You know, and it makes me really happy to be a part of the group. So
awesome. Well, we appreciate you.
Thank you, Mary Alice. Have a good day.
You too.
If today's episode left you feeling inspired to take the first or the next step in your speaking journey, we would love to help you out here at the Speaker Lab. If you're ready to get serious about making your speaking dreams a reality, I want you to head over to thespeakerlab.com/highlight. Again, that is thespeakerlab.com/highlight and book a free no obligation call with our team. Who knows? Maybe you're going to get to share your story on a future student highlight episode of this podcast. Also, if you've enjoyed this episode, I've got good news for you. There's plenty more where that came from. You can subscribe to the Speaker Lab podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts, or you can head over to thespeakerlab.com/podcast to explore all of our past episodes and more. Finally, I got one huge favor to ask of you, and that is, would you leave a rating or review for this podcast? We read every single one of them, helps other speakers find valuable free resources that they can use to also build their speaking careers. Hey, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.